You are never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. You know, one of my spiritual heroes is Doyce Rosser. He's an American businessman who built the Pomoco Auto Group into a multi-million dollar car sales enterprise. He amassed financial resources more than adequate to live in the lap of luxury for multiple lifetimes. But instead of doing that, at the age of 65, he sold his businesses and answered the call of God to launch International Cooperating Ministries. And he built churches around the world. Today, at the age of 90, with 3,800 plus churches built in over 63 countries, he is still going strong in the ministry. Doyce is living proof that you are never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream. In just a moment, Kenneth presents part one of the program titled, Never Too Old.
Hello, everyone. I trust you have had a blessed weekend. Look forward to a new week of Times of Refreshing. The problem of an aging or graying population is something which many countries are increasingly having to grapple with. This is the result of growing life expectancy arising from improved standards of living and health. While that may be a good thing in general, an aging population has its accompanying problems. And they are not necessarily all about health problems, but also what to do in life when the best years seem to be behind us. Older folks sometimes struggle with the feelings of boredom and insignificance on a day-to-day basis. But the Bible is replete with encouragements for living fruitful lives in old age. And there are many examples of productive lives in old age in the Bible, which we will do well to study. And that's what we are going to do in this series of three talks, entitled Never Too Old. We will be studying the lives of three Old Testament men of faith, or men of God, who obeyed God's call and fulfilled God's purposes later in life, when in the eyes of most people, they would have long passed their prime. Their life stories show that late does not have to mean leftovers or that the best years are over. It may be that the best is left till now or the best is yet to be. There are great heroes of faith, in particular, who made a great impact in their latter years. For them, these were not sunset or twilight years, but the best which God had saved for the last. For them, old is gold, and that's an encouraging starting point for all of us, for every one of us without exception, is inexorably growing older with every passing year. Let's start with Abraham today. Abraham started out at 75 in faith. Now that's a ripe old age for our day and generation. But even in Abraham's days, when lifespans were typically longer, it was still a good old age. I would like to take as a template for the life of Abraham from the great faith chapter of Hebrews 11 in terms of three stages. And these three stages are starting, sojourning, and seeking. And they can be tagged to these three verses in Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith academy or the hall of faith in verses 8, 9, and 10. These three verses in Hebrews 11, verses 8, 9, and 10 provide a basis for studying Abraham's life of faith with respect to starting, continuing, and finishing in faith. So first, let's look at Abraham starting. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, where Abraham appears as one of the great names in the hall of faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham's life was preeminently associated with faith. He typified the father of faith. The details of Abraham's call are recorded for us in Genesis chapter 12. But here in Hebrews 11:8, we find that by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out. But notice the nature of his going out. In the latter part of verse 8, it says, he went out not knowing where he was going. And that's a characteristic of a venture of faith into the unknown. He went out not knowing where he was going, but knowing who had called him and was going with him. That's the significant difference between faith and foolhardiness. The fundamental faith question is not about knowing where, but knowing who. Let's now turn to Genesis chapter 12 to fill in the details of this outline. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. We find that Abraham appeared on the scriptural scene only at the age of 75, when he was called by God to leave his homeland, from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. This is a sobering observation. Our lives have not really begun, or are they significant, till we obey God's call to be where He wants us. Life before that is largely existence. In verse 1, the force of the call is much stronger in those words, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land I will show you. The call begins by getting out of where we have been. We need to get out of our own will before we can get into God's will. This is a step of faith in moving on from an expired phase of life to the next phase of life. He was to get out from his own country and kindred, that is the fond and the familiar. We need to get out of the cozy and the comfortable, the safe and the secure, the tried and the tested, so that we can move from the known to the unknown. It's far more important to know the who and the what of the call than the where and the how. These will be shown to us a step at a time as we step out in faith. We are never given a full and a final roadmap and a beautiful blueprint right from the start. The directional instructions are given more like a GPS, which gives you instructions on which turn to take, what prominent signposts you pass, just at the time when you approach or reach them. So in steering by faith, we rest in the constant assurance that we are under God's global positioning system, which will direct us to the destination without getting lost on a detour if we follow the instructions, one step at a time. A good description of this is given to us in Genesis chapter 24, verse 27, when Abraham sent his most senior servant to look for a bride for his son Isaac from their homeland. And that servant described the way that God had led him and blessed him on his journey as follows. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. That simple phrase, being on the way, the Lord led me, is a powerful and practical description of what it means to walk in faith. It's a combination of the Lord leading us as we cooperate by going out in faith. To move forward requires more than just putting one foot forward, because if you do that, you'll just still remain exactly where you are. You have not actually moved. It has to be followed by taking the next step with the other foot, and so on it goes. A step at a time, and progress is made. Faith is not a destination, but a disposition, which in turn determines the direction. It is not a neat and tidy exercise involving joining all the dots along a projected curve or line. It is a dynamic state, not a static thing. Faith is like an operating environment in which we make choices and decisions based on God's words and ways. We've read earlier in Genesis 12:4, So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. There was an immediate and unquestioning and unconditional obedience to God's word, and that's the place of blessing. It cannot be found by staying in the same place and position where you are if God has told you to move. We need to learn how to listen to God speak and to understand His way for us. This often involves a complementary combination and confluence of three things, and they are my aspiring, His authorizing, and the arranging of circumstances. And altogether, they are ordered under His hand. God's purpose for us begins by His dropping a desire in our hearts, which grows. That's my aspiring. And then He confirms this by speaking to us through His word in the Bible, together with a burden that the Holy Spirit has placed upon our hearts. That's His authorizing. And finally, with the arranging or engineering of circumstances, He opens and closes doors so that it begins to be actualized. So that's the starting phase in Abraham's life. Let's move on to the second stage, the sojourning stage. That's given to us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9. And it begins in the same way, by faith. He dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. We have read from Genesis 12:4 that Abraham started out at the relatively advanced age of 75 years. But then he did not know how much more time he had, and it's the same always with all of us. But it turned out to be actually less than half time for him, because he finally died at the ripe old age of 175. We read of that in Genesis 25, verse 7. That means he actually had 100 years more to go, and he had not actually reached his midlife. So imagine what would have happened if he reasoned that he was already too old and that he was past his prime at the age of 75, when in reality, he had not even reached the halfway mark. Now, we don't normally talk about a midlife crisis happening at the age of 75. But the fact of the matter is, we never know how much time we still have. So therefore, we never know when is our midlife. So this whole thing about a midlife crisis is really a myth, because midlife is hypothetical, it's imaginary. You can only talk about it retrospectively, when a person has died and you know the terminal point. But as you are living and as you are going along year by year, you do not know when the end will come, and therefore you do not know when is your precise midlife. In Hebrews 11 verse 9, we have read that Abraham dwelt as if he was in a foreign country, in tents. He and his family went from being a town dweller in Ur of the Chaldeans to being a tent dweller in Canaan. He did not sink his roots, but he was always ready to move. He lived as a stranger and sojourner on this earth. I clearly recall my backpacking days as a university student, when the sum total of all your earthly possessions is just what you can carry on your backpack. That's a sojourning lifestyle versus a settling lifestyle and mentality. And a sojourning lifestyle is characterized by simplicity and mobility. You're ready to go, you are always prepared for the unpredictable, and you are never shocked or surprised, because anything can happen and you simply take things in your stride. Peter talks a lot about this sojourner's lifestyle in his first epistle. For example, in chapter 1, verse 17 of 1 Peter, he says, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. And then in chapter 2, verse 11, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. In our faith chapter in Hebrews 11, it says the same thing in verses 13 and 14 about all the heroes of faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. We confess what we possess. So let's live with a detachment from temporal and earthly things. let's have a disposition of dispossession, because we are just en route and passing by on a journey. There were two milestones in Abraham's life. First is the birth of Isaac, who was the son of faith and promise. And that was when Abraham was 100 years old. We read of that in Genesis chapter 21. And secondly, it's the binding of Isaac as a sacrifice at the Mount of Moriah. And we read of that in Genesis chapter 22, as well as in Hebrews 11, our faith chapter, from verses 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So those were the two milestones in his sojourning stage: the birth of Isaac, who was promised by God and received by faith in Abraham, and the binding of Isaac as a sacrifice, who was offered to God and returned to God by faith. Abraham did not cling to God's gift, but to God. And we know from that incident how God tested Abraham's faith and proved him by himself providing a ram for the offering instead of his son Isaac. A very vivid inside view of Abraham's faith during this stage of his life is given to us by Paul in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, which says concerning Abraham, "Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be." Verse 19, "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform." It was the same kind of faith that he exhibited and went through in both his milestones of the birth of Isaac and the binding of Isaac. He was able to believe in hope based on God's word, even though all things on the outside appeared contrary to hope. He did not allow himself to be weak in faith by considering his own body or the circumstantial evidence, but he simply held fast to the promise of God's word. He was strengthened in his faith by not allowing himself to waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He kept himself fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And so it came to pass. And that's why we read back in Genesis chapter 12, in verse 9, "So Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south." I like that phrase, "going on still." This was very unlike Terah, his father, who stopped to settle at Haran, which we read about in the previous chapter of Genesis 11, verse 31. Abraham not only started in faith, but he continued in faith. The third stage of Abraham's life is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, which I will call seeking. It says, "For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." He wasn't just looking for earthly things, but heavenly things. Are we engaged in building for God? Do we, like Abraham, set our eyes not on temporal things which are seen, but on eternal things which are not seen as yet? It is in being heaven-minded that we are kept from being earth-bound. It says in Hebrews 11:16, "But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." Paul exhorts in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We have read earlier in Hebrews 11:13 that all these heroes of faith died in faith. not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them and embraced them. There are two primary promises of God to Abraham. The first is about his posterity. His descendants were to be a blessing to the nations. And the second is about his property or possessions in the land of promise in Canaan. When Abraham died at the age of 175 years, he just only had a plot of burial ground which he had bought and just one son, Isaac, through his wife Sarah, with twin grandsons. These were the tokens of God's grace and faithfulness. But they were far from the final promised destiny. There wasn't much to show, really. But Hebrews 11:14 says, "Those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland." What you say reveals what you really seek. Verse 15, "And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return." Living by faith means not looking back, but rather looking forward. Remember the Lord Jesus' instructions in Luke 17:32, to remember Lot's wife, the one who looked back. And Lot was Abraham's nephew who started out with him, but ended pathetically. This is the great importance of not only starting out by faith, but also continuing in faith, and most important of all, finishing the race well in faith. Just as Paul did when he proclaimed in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, toward the end of his life, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And as you continue to do this, may God refresh you by His presence and reach you by His word.
How about you? Have you reasoned that you are past your prime and too old to be of any use to God? Thank you for that good word, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And please join us again tomorrow for part two of Never Too Old. Right now, though, we would love to hear from you, and I have several ways through which you can be in contact. You can send us a text message at 9431-3813, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road, Post Office, Singapore 915-714. You can go to our Facebook page and leave your comments there or share some views with some of the other folks you see. Also, I invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, where you can listen to the program right online. And Times of Refreshing has launched an iPhone app that allows users to directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from their iPhones. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.